scripture reading this morning is from one of the prophets whose name was Micah. This is from the Hebrew scriptures. This is chapter 4 of Micah, and this is a vision of the future. It's a vision of the future. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be raised above the hills, and people shall stream to it, and many nations shall come to that mountain and that house and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, that we may walk in God's paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. These nations shall beat their swords into farm tools, and their spears into hooks to get fruit off the trees. No nation shall lift up their sword against any other nation, and they shall not learn war anymore. But all of them shall sit under their own vines and under their own fruit trees, and no one shall make them be afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken this. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of their God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. This is the word of God for the people of God.
In the Bible, the prophets Micah and Isaiah say this. They say, God looks down and says, my people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And then nation will not rise up against nation and people will study war no more. It's this amazing vision of people beating their swords into plows, turning instruments of death into tools for peace and for life. And I love that vision, so much so that we actually met some blacksmiths and some welders that were like, we're ready to do it. So we started doing it. We invited people to donate weapons if they had them, and they you know, wanted to not see them used for death, but to see them converted, you know, to something else. We turned an AK-47 into a rake and a shovel. And then we took another AK-47, and it made three little hand trowels. I'm convinced that one of the things that we need a movement of is a movement of life, of Christians and others who are committed to this idea that every person is precious. I live in Philadelphia, which we have almost one homicide a day. And there's been a powerful movement where people of faith and conscience have gathered outside of gun shops and began raising questions about where the kids get the guns. And that started for me not as an issue, a debate around gun control, but it started when a 19-year-old kid was killed on my front porch. And that was what stirred in me this idea that, wow, what is God's dream for the world? I'm pretty sure it's not for one kid to die every day in Philadelphia of gun violence and not 10,000 people in the United States to die of homicides and gun violence. So let's reimagine our country. Let's reimagine the world, because it doesn't have to stay the way it is.
Amen. Friends, what is God's dream for the world? When was the last time you asked that? The last time you maybe sat down in a quiet space with a journal or with a trusted friend and let yourself answer that question. For Christian activist Shane Claiborne, God's dream for this country includes ending gun violence, capital punishment, war, racism, and unjust immigration policies. His dream starts with pointing out the reality that we have more guns than people in the U.S., that we are home to 5% of the world's population and 42% of civilian-owned guns, that we have 5 times more guns dealers than we do McDonald's, that we lose 90 lives a day, 33,000 per year to guns. A recent study completed in 2017 found that 19 kids a day die of guns. 1,300 a year, and another 6,000 kids go to the hospital for gun-related accidents. So for gun control, activist groups like Now is the Time, Every Town for Gun Safety, Moms Demand Action, Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, or Shane Claiborne's own Demand the Ban. A common dream for this country is one where children's lives are more precious than the unfettered freedom to own a gun. Perhaps that is why Claiborne and his group of Mennonite welders saw the AR-15, a gun that is designed to shoot off multiple rounds in seconds and is the most popular common assault rifle used in mass shootings, as the obvious choice to turn into a gardening tool and follow the vision laid out by the prophet Micah of interrupting a culture of death and upholding a movement of life. This is God's dream for the world. Unfortunately, guns are not the only threat to the lives of children. Today is a special worship service called Children's Sabbath, envisioned and sponsored by Marion Wright Edelman's Children's Defense Fund. And it brings light to the cluster of issues that affect children in this world: violence, inadequate shelter, nutrition and health care. Starting with the simple but startling fact of economics. 400 million children around the world live on less than $1.25 a day. Some as little as 78 cents. Now that's, what, a box of mac and cheese in the U.S.? But nowhere in the world could that amount cover the cost of housing and food, clean water, transportation, sanitation, education, and health care. And so today, the Children's Defense Fund lifts up the words of Micah, through chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, to show that we are called not to conflict and combat, but to cultivation and cooperation when it comes to securing the lives of future generations. This year, the Children's Defense Fund focuses on what children provide to sustain our efforts for change. The focus is on hope, not despair. And I thought that was appropriate because for us this year, we are focusing on the stages of our faith and celebrating how each developmental stage offers something that we carry on throughout our faith journey. And we celebrate that childhood is a time of intense curiosity, of rapid skill acquisition, and joyful fostering of relationships. It's a time when our creative sides are the most encouraged and our desire to connect is the most indulged. According to neuroscientists, preschool through fifth grade is when our brain is laying down patterns and making associations between seemingly separate categories in a phenomenon they call blending. This ability makes connections across stimuli and genre to pair like and unlike things based on glimpses of familiarity and routines. Is at the core of imagination. It's also what drives a search for harmony and inclusion within a child's mental and emotional state. So as our learning and our creative play is encouraged, childhood is a time when we feel our growing agency in the world. And that leads to our sense of unbounded hope. It is a time when the rate at which we learn and the possibilities that we see around us are greater than anything we've known before, and that feeds our sense of imagination and our belief that imagination is the most powerful tool in the world. Hope and imagination. Imagination leading to hope. These are the spiritual gifts that lead to the capacity to dream and to imagine God's dream for us. So in preparing for today's worship, Kathleen Allen and I gathered, I think it was about 15, whoever was in Word and Worship last week, 15 of our elementary kids after the word and worship time, and we took them into the fellowship hall, and we talked about worship and about God. And I told them to think about how worship is a time for us to listen for God's dream for the world. But it's also a time when we as a congregation perform for God what our dreams for changing the world are. We do this when we confess our mistakes and express our hopes to make it better. When we read about the prophets and the strong women and men of our faith, about Jesus and the early church. When we sing about wonder and love. And when we imagine a table large enough to feed everyone, everywhere, from every age throughout time. I asked our kids what their dreams for the world were, and here are some of the things they said. Pete, prophetically, said he hoped for all gun violence to stop. Janie Kate wanted to shut down all kill shelters that threaten the lives of puppies and kittens. Margaret wished children were not forced to move out of their homes. Kiva lifted up the need for more equal human rights around the world. Christian said he wanted to shut down all racism and sexism. He wished we'd stop getting involved in wars unless we knew we could help and not make them worse. Katie offered a simple prayer for peace on earth. And her friend, who was visiting us for the first time, mourned the pollution that spread across this earth, particularly in our oceans. Church, the children see the world as it is, don't they? They're not too young to be affected by its brokenness. But they also imagine that we can make it better. They still dream about how we can do that. And they believe God dreams about this too. In case you have forgotten what worship is, in case you've forgotten why it is you come to church on a Sunday instead of staying at home, maybe remotely giving to a worthy local or global nonprofit, let me remind you of what it means to share a dream with God, and even more with the children. The problems of this world won't be solved by our work alone. It won't be solved by the biggest check we write or the lone acts of service we give. It won't be solved in our generation. Now, there are a lot of nonprofits and civic institutions out there that do amazing things for this world and for our children. And I hope that whatever you and the children in your life hear and learn in this building inspire you to give and serve generously out there too. But the church, I think, is still unique in its ability to pass on values and to offer models of compassion, giving, and servant leadership between generations. Don't we do this every week? Side by side, the greatest generation to the silent one, to the boomers, to the Gen X and the Y, millennials, and now Generation Z. We are led this morning by that middle section of the Generation Z. The oldest of this generation are just barely in college, and the youngest have not yet been born. What's interesting about this generation is that they have grown up under the cloud of conflict. War and terrorism and mass shootings fill the daily news cycles. The long reach of recession stresses out their parents. Gen Zers describe themselves as loyal, responsible, compassionate, thoughtful, and open-minded. A recent study said that this generation may be the best church attenders since the greatest one. With young adults ages 18 to 20, remember the very oldest of this generation, being twice as likely to attend church as millennials, Gen X, or boomers did between ages 18 to 20. That's about 41% of their age group. Church, are you ready for that kind of influence? I'm hearing a no. Yeah. Along with modeling compassion, service, and faith, in this sanctuary, we pass on something more sacred, a story of redemption and a message as Katie aptly put, imagined as peace on earth. In his book, The Social Animal, The Hidden Source of Love, Character, and Achievement, the columnist David Brooks looks at the differences in patterns of thought between a father in his probably late 20s, 30s, and his younger elementary-aged child. Now, the child in the scene is absorbed in imaginary play, constructing a story with twists and turns and battles and sacrificial love. I imagine kind of a scene with Andy and his toys in the hit movie Toy Story. Can you be there with me? But this energetic and chaotic play with cowboys and soldiers and stuffed animals and aliens leaves the father's more rational brain with a huge headache back here. However, the make-believe drama ultimately delights the boy and gives him peace as he sings his wounded stuffed horse, the white horse, the hero of the scene, into heaven. The psychologist Dan P. McAdams argues that children develop a narrative tone which influences their stories for the rest of their lives. He says children gradually adopt an enduring assumption that everything will turn out well or badly, depending on their childhood. They lay down a foundation of stories in which goals are achieved, hurts healed, peace is restored, and the world is understood. Think about a story like that. Where do you hear those stories? I think we heard one today, right? Like most gospels we preach on Sundays, the passage from Micah ends with a positive narrative tone. These few lines are a powerful dream we should have for our world's children. The verse towards the end that I love is also a favorite line of our founding father, George Washington. He often quoted it in his letters. And at the end of his tenure, he wrote about a place where all are sheltered, fed, and safe. And that this was a vision that Washington had for a republic that he believed could only be sustained with religious morals at its backbone. The prophet Micah shared this dream with George Washington. And yes, for all of you Hamilton the Musical fans, so did Lin-Manuel Miranda. They all believed. Does anyone know the line? Everyone shall sit under their own vine and fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Afraid in this nation we've made. Ultimately, the Children's Defense Fund wants to eradicate what causes children to fear for their lives. This year, Marion Wright Edelman wrote this prayer, and I wanted to end our reflection today. It's called A Prayer to God of All Children. O God of the children of El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico, of Myanmar, Syria, of Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Israel, Iran, Iraq, Libya, and Yemen, Nigeria, Sudan, South Africa, and South Carolina, of Palestinian children and refugee children everywhere without a safe country or space to welcome them. Help us to love and respect and protect and welcome them all. O God of black and brown and white and albino children and those all mixed together, of children who are rich and poor and in between, of children who speak English and Russian and Hmong and Chinese and Korean, Spanish and Arabic, and language and dialects our ears cannot discern. Help us to love and respect and protect and welcome them all. O God of children who can walk and talk and hear and see and sing and dance and jump and play, and of children who wish they could but they can't. Children who are loved and unloved, wanted and unwanted. Help us to love, respect, protect, welcome them all. God of incarcerated, beggar, beaten, abused, orphaned, neglected, homeless, AIDS, drug, violence, and hunger-ravaged children, and children torn from parents and caged in strange lands, of emotionally and physically and mentally fragile children, and children who rebel and ridicule and torment and taunt. Help us to love and respect and protect and welcome them all. O God of children of destiny and of despair, ravaged by the wars and ideologies and political agendas of adults, children fleeing crime and drug cartels and gang violence and life-threatening poverty, of diseased and disfigured and dying children. O God of children without hope and children with hope to spare and to share, help us to love and respect and protect and welcome them all. Yes, God, help us to love, respect, protect, and welcome all your children, but also help us to listen to them as they imagine another world where guns become gardening tools, where God's dream for the world are realized through each and every one of us. Amen.